It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a 10-year-old boy on a playdate with Michael Jackson. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hi, Pip.
Hello, everybody.
And our special guest tonight from Portobello's and used to have a very famous boss, Michael Jackson. Vincent Amon's here. Hello, Vince.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for inviting me back.
It's funny. Like, Vince kind of, like, leans into the mic and then backs away from it. He doesn't know what to make of it. Like, we just, like put it right in our mouth, but it's like, I don't know what this thing's going to do. Okay. Lean into it. It won't hurt you.
All right.
So, like I said, on the show, Vince is here, and I didn't know this about him. Last time, I've known Vince for years. See him all, you know, see him all the time. See him probably 5-6 times a year. I did not know this about him. So he comes up to me, he goes, you know, I'm going to be on A&E in June, right? June?
In June, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. For what? Like, I figured it was like some cooking thing that they had going because, you know, he's a big macho over at Portobello's in Oakland, New Jersey. Like, no, you didn't know this? I was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Michael Jackson trial. I'm like, no, that never came up. I didn't know that. I'm like, you've been on this radio show a bunch of times and you never mentioned that? We're talking bullshit and you got that? So we got to talking, and apparently he knows some things. So we're going to talk about that later on. You were a big Michael Jackson fan growing up, right, Pip?
You know, I was. Everybody was. When I was little, everybody listened to the Jackson 5. And then when Michael went on his own, everybody liked that music.
Well, I didn't, actually. I was into heavier music. But going back, you know, there's certain stuff I like now. I like Dirty Diana. I like Bad. I like Beat It, Man. There's certain songs I like. But growing up, when I was a kid, it was not cool to be a white kid with long hair liking Michael Jackson. That was not cool. That made you gay. Yeah. But, you know, you look back, oh, how could anybody think that way? He was so talented.
Well, at the time, you know, there was a point where it got oversaturated, and so then everybody was kind of sick of him. And my first car had a cassette tape in it, and they said to me, "It doesn't really work. Be careful to put anything in there, and just to test it out and see if it would be all right." Actually, oh, I'm sorry. This was my friend's car. He was like, "Let's test it out with a cassette that you don't like." So we put a Michael Jackson cassette in it, and it ate it.
Oh, uh-oh, gobbled it up. So yeah, so
at the time I was not sorry to see that thing go, but it was stuck in there forever.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, Joe gave me like one of his band CDs from Race Odyssey that I put in the CD player of my old car, and that got stuck. I needed, like, tweezers to get it out. I mean, you know, listen to Race Odyssey once in a while. I highly recommend it. Every Damn Day is the only album I do not. So
no, then you'll go insane.
Yes, that was a problem. So so Vincent, so there was a conspiracy, and I'll get more into it when we get into the segment, but there was one of the allegations that the prosecution was coming up with was a conspiracy charge, and Vincent was heavily involved with that. Some of the things he was doing, the prosecution felt was conspiracy. So Vincent will tell us all about those interesting things. It is kind of interesting. I read up on it because the trial was in 2005, and so, you know, that's like 15 years ago. So I was an adult, but I didn't give a shit, honestly, because, you know, I know it was a big deal to a lot of people, but I don't remember and I don't care that much about it. But then I looked back about it. Oh, wow, this is really interesting. Like I read up on what, like, led to the charges and how it all, because he was exonerated. He was found not guilty. He was acquitted. But I all the antics and nonsense that went on before it. And here our pal has some inside information. So we will do that later on. We will also do some scamming scammers with Han, as you recall last week, if you were listening, of course you were. It got very testy between Fake Davin and two of the scammers, where I made a threat that I would put a bullet in a scammer's head if he did not release my scammer love interest, new girlfriend, friend that he was allegedly holding hostage. Got very testy. So we'll see where that goes.
True, dude.
Yeah. And then on the Afterbirth show in Australia, guy dies 33. They put a picture of him on his tombstone, waving the middle finger, because that's what he was all about. And the cemetery took it down because somebody complained. We'll talk about that. So lots to get to. So you're probably wondering why Pip's not here. No, you're not. You listen all the time. You know why Pip's not here. But we have two walking wounded tonight. So
well,
Pip,
you know,
what?
Well, also Joe's girl put her back out too.
Bunch of unathletic MFers. That's really what's going on over here. So
to do was move the wrong way.
So we got Pip who's injured. We got Vincent who's injured. Let's go to Vincent's injury first. Then we'll go to Pip's injuries, and then I'll chastise both you unathletic MFers. That's what I will do right there. And Joe's girl, you know, listen, we know it wasn't because of antics that Joe wanted, because, you know, Joe's a very straightforward guy. So Joe's girl, she was probably moving furniture. I'm guessing that's what happened. I don't think it was bedroom antics with Joe. Would you back that up?
Oh yeah, no. She just told me one wrong move.
Yeah. All right. So Vincent, what did you do to yourself?
So I was playing my usual Tuesday night soccer. I was running. There was the ball. I connected with the ball while the other person's leg was on the ball, and I pulled my knee.
Oh, so you kind of like jammed it. You kind of like...
I kind of jammed it.
And how old are you?
40.
You know what, though? That's an athletic injury. I can live with something like that. I've hurt myself in softball doing unathletic things like running after a ball. And I'm like, wow, there goes my calf muscle. Guess I'm limping around for the next month and a half. But you actually did something legitimate. You were running. You went to get, that can happen. Your foot gets jammed. So I can't even chastise you. But you did something afterwards.
I did. I didn't take a break, and I went running, and I hurt it even more.
And as a stubborn ox like I am, you didn't go to a doctor.
I didn't go to a doctor.
So you're probably going to play through this.
Yeah, I'm in hope it gets better.
But even if it doesn't get better, you'll probably still play through it.
I think I'll go to a doctor at that point.
Okay, that's good. So you're limping around.
I'm over the limping right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now are you going to brace it up for the next game?
I did for the last 2 days. I think I'm taking a break from soccer.
Oh, you're taking a break?
Taking a break.
See, I don't take a break. I play through it. I limp around on one leg. I don't give a damn. And I'm older than you. I don't care. I'm not stopping because I know my games are limited. I know the clock is ticking on me before they take me out to the shed and Old Yeller me. So I am not giving up a damn thing. All right, so that's an athletic injury.
I bid on that opportunity, you know.
Yes. Well, listen, you better slow your roll. It's amazing we still let you crawl around and lick your nuts. It's amazing. We should. I mean, if you're talking about dogs that have outlived their usefulness, it might be you, my dear. Okay. Say, I rest my case. So what did you do to hurt your back?
I don't have to do anything to hurt my back. I have a chronic back issue. And it's just not going away. I did go to for therapy for it for a while, and it helped for a bit. But then I don't have to do anything for it to go out, and it's been bothering me. It start, you know, for some reason there's something I do. There's some motion that I do when I pack luggage that irritates it. And when I was getting ready for the President's weekend away with the girls, I must have done whatever it is that it doesn't like, and so it was really hurting. It's my SI joint, and you know, people who are older, you know, they know where that is.
I have no idea where that is.
Hurting.
Where is that?
It's your lower back.
Okay.
Just around your hip area, but, you know, in your back. It's particularly bad on my left side. And as Joe's girl, who is an avid listener and has a great memory, she just asked me in the chat, were you weeding?
Oh, wow. Good for her. I don't even remember that. That, yes, you actually injured yourself while weeding. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, no, it wasn't weeding. It's two things. It's weeding and packing. For some reason, really irritated.
So, and, I mean, the obvious question is, why don't you not do those things? Why don't you have somebody else pack your bag?
Yes, because the maid was off that day.
No, but Mr. Helix is tooling around. He's not that busy. I mean, you know, if you're going away for a weekend, he could throw some stuff. I'm sure he would rather do that than have you limping around the house crawling, you know, with a piss bucket like a Snapple bottle or whatever. I'm sure he'd rather have that.
What? No, it's not that bad. I was...
Then why aren't you here?
Well, it wasn't that bad. I went... it was really hurting me yesterday, but I went to work, and I got up this morning, ready to go, and all of a sudden, I don't even know what I did, and all of a sudden, boink, it was really out, and it was agony.
You know, well, first of all, you probably had a cat in your back. She has a lot of cats. I have cats, too. The problem with cats is, if they're affectionate cats, which is a nice thing, they want to sleep right up against you, so you kind of contort your body around the cats, which is really friggin' stupid. But I do it. Did you have a cat in your back?
No. There's one cat that likes to sleep with me, and she jumps up on my chest until I put on my CPAP. And then for some reason, the noise from that irritates her, and she jumps and runs away.
Wow. So here's the thing. Like, I threw out my back in my 20s. I was playing softball, and I guess I didn't stretch properly. Because I always stretch, but when you're 20, you don't value stretching as much as you do when you're, say, 45. So, like,
yeah.
I think I swung, which is a lot of hip and back movement and get your legs. And I threw up my back, and I played through it. I drove home an hour away. Oh, no, it wasn't an hour away. No, it was like 20 minutes away. Thank goodness. But by that night, I was crawling around in the apartment. Fortunately, there was no stairs. I could not make it to the bathroom. I was crawling around with a Snapple bottle. That's how bad it was. But since then, I stretched more, and now I do core exercises.
Okay.
Do you do core exercises?
No.
I do core exercises. Now, my back is still tender, my lower back, so sometimes when I'm lifting weights and everything, I'll feel it in my lower back when you're doing stuff like hinges and rows and stuff. You know what a hinge is, right?
No.
All right, a hinge is kind of when you're standing up, and your knees can be slightly bent, and you lean forward with, like, heavy weights. So you do that, and then a row is if you're kind of in that position with your knees bent, and you pick up the weights, and you bring them up towards your chest. So once in a while, I'll have to stop in the middle of the workout, and then I will stretch out on the floor. But since I've started doing all these exercises, although sometimes I get, like, these nagging things, I don't throw shit out anymore. Like, so much of the back injuries is because of your core. Because, like, the core is what goes around basically your stomach to your back is your core, and there's all sorts of core exercises. So you should be doing core exercises, Pip.
Yes, I agree with you. As soon as this doesn't hurt again, I'm going to go back to the little regimen that the physical therapists taught me.
You might be at that point where, like, every day you got to stretch in the morning. You might be at that point because you get tighter as you get older.
Yeah.
What?
I said, I might be at that point where it's just like, you know, every day I got to limber up before I hurt something.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. Have you ever had a back injury, Vincent?
I pulled my back up.
No, not one to, I mean, not one besides just this chronic thing. I mean, I've had whiplash a number of times because at one period in my life, people just kept hitting the cars I was sitting in, and
I understand that.
You know, I told you I've
I could see why.
Totaled three cars while I was sitting in them because people kept hitting me.
I understand why you're in it. I would.
Do you medicate?
Thank you.
Do you medicate as part of therapy?
No.
Okay.
I take Advil when it's really bad, but I don't take a lot of painkiller type things ever because. Well, I just think that unless I can't handle it, I think your body is trying to, like, warn you of something when you're in pain. So I only medicate it when I have to.
You might need also a new mattress. Like, our old mattress, which was just an expensive mattress, used to hurt my back. I'd wake up with backaches. And then we got, like, a new mattress, and it's not so bad. Sometimes just what you're sleeping on makes a difference. Sometimes it's
too... No, we got a Tempur-Pedic. That thing rocks.
Well, apparently not, because you're still getting back injuries from packing. Well,
but it doesn't necessarily mean it's my mattress.
But it doesn't mean it's not. You might want to look in. You might need something firmer or softer. You might, you know, I don't know. You're a fucking mess. That's what I know.
That's what we know.
So I had a restaurant issue, and I'm glad I got a restaurant guy here. I feel like it might be something
yeah.
we talked about. But it happened the other night. So me and my wife, we go to a local Greek place. Very, very good food. Nice people. And go there several times a year. And I'm eating my sandwich. Was called a Spartan. It's like a gyro meat and feta cheese and french fries and a pita with tzatziki. So it's really healthy. So I'm really maintaining. Yeah, I'm
eating. Delicious.
I'm eating like a slob. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm about halfway through the sandwich. Next thing I know, my wife starts rooting around in my sandwich. So she's got her finger in my tzatziki. Sauce. And you never want a finger in your tzatziki sauce. You don't know where that finger's been. You're trying to enjoy your tzatziki sauce. What the hell is this crazy bitch doing? Turns out she's on a fishing expedition. And she came up with it. What do you think she found?
A hair.
Yes, Vincent. A hair. It was a hair. It was a long, brown, curly hair. Now, she has long, curly hair, but she's a strawberry blonde. I have brown hair, but it's not that long or curly. So we deduced. It was not ours. So she's like, just put it off to the side. And in the past, I would put it off to the side. I'm not going to eat the hair. Eating the hair is never an option.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past,
no.
In the past, I would just like put it off to the side and go, all right. But now I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to say something.
Sure.
Is that the protocol, Vincent?
Yeah, it's a protocol to say something.
So, I mean, I told him, I go, you know, look what I found. I'm not making a scene. I don't want to embarrass anybody. It's a restaurant full of people. I'm not looking to cost them money or be a dick or anything. And I'm telling this to a girl with blue hair, and she's like, well, it's not mine. I'm like, I get it, Smurfette. I know that. And they're like, looking around. They can't figure out who's in the staff it could be. But, you know, what they do, they're like, do you want another sandwich? And I'm like, okay. I mean, at that point, I was kind of full anyway, or I could have ordered something else. I'm like, okay. And that was the end of it. But in the past, I wouldn't have said anything about it. But, I mean, what's the restaurant protocol? What would you like? I'm sure it's happened in the restaurant. It happens.
Yeah, hair calls for a fresh new dish or entree.
Okay. That's what I thought. But my wife kind of made me feel like a little bad that I would, like, bring this to their attention. Because at home, if we find a hair... We push it to the side
because
we know it's our hair. And I don't even know if that's really the right thing to do. Like, some people get really freaked out by hair.
Well, it happens to me when I go to restaurants. I find hair in the food. But then I sit there analyzing very strongly.
CSI?
Is that mine?
CSI McDonald's?
Yeah.
How did this hair get in the fish fillet? Well, their answer was maybe it must have been in the air. I don't know. I don't see a lot of hair floating in the air. it's like, listen, I don't care whose hair it is. I just know it's not mine.
Yeah.
I mean, they were cool about it. But I mean,
why would you eat the other half if there was a hair in it? So you
right.
get a new half, get that, a new sandwich.
But my wife, because I guess.
Plus, fingers were in it.
Right, but it was my wife's finger, so you'll let that go.
Okay.
But again, like, it seems like fucking stop digging in there. Stop. And like, she didn't realize she was digging, but she was digging. I'm like, what are you fucking doing? Like, if you want a piece or a bite, I'll give you some. You don't gotta dig, you animal. But
but it's quite bizarre to reach across the table and shove your fingers in somebody's entree.
Yeah, I feel like she felt a little too comfortable. I feel like we're not on that level of intimacy yet. I feel like she needs to back the fuck up. I mean, listen, I understand picking through somebody's food, but once a sauce is involved, it's too much. You got to slow down. You got to respect the sauce. Because now she's making it gross, like she's finger painting. What the fuck you doing? And we, like,
I don't think that I want to eat it now that there's been anyone's fingers in it or anyone's hair in it. This sandwich is done.
Now, what would you do if it was at the at a friend's house? Say you were at our house, Pip, and you found a hair that was not yours. It was not orange or red or whatever shade you dye it. Say it was not that.
Well, you know what? If it was at your house, you know, things happen when people prepare food, and sometimes a hair gets in there, and I would just, like, you're clean people. I would just pull it off to the side, and I wouldn't freak out about it.
Yeah,
and
you're a trooper.
I don't know where that hair's been. I'd be pretty grossed out.
So in a restaurant, you're bringing it to somebody's attention.
Mm. Yes.
See, I don't know any restaurant that would give you a hard time. Have you ever heard of a restaurant?
No.
No, I mean, it's like, it's
no,
a fun
hair
one.
Hair is free meal. Not free, I mean, new meal.
Well, it could be free. You could do
free. Could be free.
Should be free. Free meal.
Free meal.
But I think there's people that take advantage of it. But there was still half a sandwich left.
Yeah.
And we were ordering a bunch of stuff to go, and we ordered an appetizer. So I wasn't trying to be a cheapskate with these people. I was ordering a shitload of food, like animals. But now we found, like, plastic.
Mm.
Like my mom is, like, bitten into plastic.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Has that ever happened?
Sure, at the restaurant.
How does that happen?
Could come if it was where was it, the lettuce or chicken?
I want to say it was like in meat, in beef. I think it was like in beef.
Could be something the package they were opening where they cut it open and a piece fell on the meat.
Hard plastic? Like she almost broke a tooth on it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to make a scene now. But she's right.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they're always apologetic and everything, but that's dangerous. I mean, like, realistically, what can you prepare for in the back? I mean, you got a clean banquet hall, you got a clean restaurant, but, I mean, so sometimes is it just where you get the food?
Sometimes a lot of the times it happens when you receive the food. There's been instances where salad has come in a wood crate with wire that goes around it.
Uh-huh.
So there's been a piece of wire.
That's crazy.
It's been in the salad, and someone was chewing on it.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Wow.
So we gave them a free salad.
Oh, wow, you're a sport. Free salad. Fucking lucky they didn't harpoon their insides. A free salad. Yeah, but that's got to be, like, bad when there's, like, a really foreign object. Like a hair, because that's hair. It can happen. But when it's, like, a foreign object.
Yeah.
But I like that. You're like, yeah, no, it was from the salad people. We don't usually cook with wire. That's the salad people.
I think that's their
secret ingredient.
I find wire makes everything taste better.
Secret ingredient for a lawsuit.
Have you ever had somebody who was like really irate over something like that?
No, I haven't had that. Knock on wood. No.
That's good. That's good. Have you ever gotten really upset, Pip, at like a restaurant?
When I was in college, I was eating in the dorm, and I found a 2-foot metal screw in the lasagna.
What, you mean a 2-inch?
2-inch.
A 2-foot. That would be quite a lot of lasagna. She had the 2-foot tray of lasagna, and she found a screw that went all the way across. They were telling you something. You're going to die. We're just going to do it quicker.
I messed up. But it was a 2-inch thick and long, not 2 inches wide, but like a wide and 2-inch tall screw in lasagna.
See, doesn't
and
that make you think that that was put there on purpose?
Before I ate it.
Well, don't you think that, doesn't that make you think somebody put that there on purpose? Because, like, how does hardware get in the middle of lasagna?
Yeah,
that made me think it was purposeful.
So did you take it back to them?
No. You know what? The dorm food was so terrible. I was like, What are they going to do, give me more slop? I just don't care at this point.
So this was at the school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was probably done on purpose. You probably fucking... You
yeah,
know,
I think so.
They were tired of the students complaining.
You know, they also, you know, there's, like, I worked work-study as part of my financial aid package, and some of the jobs are in the kitchen. I got put into an office because I had done office work before, but, you know, they assign you, and some people are just, like, not really pleased that they have to, like, work for their schooling, and they do crazy stuff, I guess.
That's dangerous, though.
What's
like the craziest thing you've seen in a dish? Not necessarily in your restaurant, but just when you were out or you heard about.
Well, my son, he had chicken fingers and he was chewing on a plastic piece, and he goes, "Dad, look at this."
Well, he got the Happy Meal. He didn't understand it's not all real.
But you know what though? In terms of cleanliness, I'd rather get the plastic than get the hair.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm taking the hair every time. Plastic? Plastic. You could choke on. You could break a tooth or something.
Yeah, I know.
You know, a hair. It's just kind of gross.
Cleanliness.
See, but I kind of feel like the hair can happen by accident. Even if you put your hair up in a hairnet, you know, stuff happens. I feel like a hair can be a mistake. I feel like when you start putting hardware and plastic in there, I kind of feel like somebody has a mission. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're out to hurt you. Yeah. So your son was okay.
He was fine. He caught it.
The plastic I can see because plastic containers degrade sometimes, or if they use like a big bucket to hold certain food, like they do in the back of restaurants sometimes, like the corners of them can sometimes snap off. So I can see plastic, or, you know, like if people don't keep things safely and say that you have something on an upper shelf and it rolls off into something lower, I can see how those kind of accidents could happen, but some things just seem really purposeful.
Yeah, it makes it scary. Like, no matter, I mean, how clean you are, I mean, it's just like, and even, it happens at home too. You're cooking something because again, you get the food from someplace, whether it be ground beef or chicken, and you hope it was okay, but sometimes you just bite into something that doesn't make sense. You're like, you'll bite into like ground beef, and there'll be like a bone in there. Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's plate.
Yeah. When somebody doesn't butcher carefully, there could be like pieces of bone or cartilage in meat. And it's, you know, you're outsourcing that. Who grinds their own meat these days? You get it from someplace else.
I do. I actually grind up with my meat. So, oh, that's not what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I got distracted. But when I do it, I assure you it is intentional. But anyway. So you're having day program issues again?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, you know what? The new twist is that all of a sudden, I was supposed to have my six-month, I can't think of the word I want.
Evaluation?
And she says to me that, well, because she and the woman above her gave me a write-up that was just absolutely ridiculously terrible and like blaming me for stuff that's kind of out of my control in some instances. It was just god awful, and they wrote on it, third review is in, the next step is you get fired. So that's why I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm getting fired from this place. And it was left with, well, you know, if you don't straighten up by the time your 6 month review comes around, you're out of here. So, you know, I was not sure if I was staying or going. Well, the day came around, and it's getting to be the afternoon, and she hasn't said anything to me. So I said, you know, we're supposed to do my six-month review. And she goes, oh, yeah, on the 29th. And I said, no, it's today. Oh, well, let's do it right now. And I'm thinking, they have a form that you have to fill out, and, like, there's a whole report that has to be done. I'm like, if you don't know that you were supposed to do it, what do you want to just do it on the fly? No way. I want something written. Now that you've written a 5-page diatribe against me, if you have something to say, you better have it written down. And I said, well, we have our normal one-on-one tomorrow. Why don't we do it then? Figuring that'll give her time to write whatever down. She's like, oh, okay, that was easy. And I'm like, why are you being so breezy about this? You might fire me tomorrow. What is wrong with you?
Well, I mean, that would put me in a good mood.
It was kind of weird. So then the next day comes, I sit down. She doesn't pull out any paperwork or anything. She goes, well, since we had our uncomfortable talk, everything's been great. And I'm like, well, good. Write that down. And she's like, but I think that what we'll do is we'll extend your probation period for another 90 days, and then you'll have been under my authority for 6 months, and then we can just do a six-month review without all that other stuff, okay? And I'm like, well, you've decided it, so I guess it's okay. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, but what she's telling you is she's giving you a clean slate. She's telling you from the time where she gave you the riot act, going forward, as long as you're good, you got a clean slate.
But you're still in your probation period? Is that what they were saying?
She's extending my probation period for another 90 days.
Pip's been on probation here for 10 years.
So you've been, okay, you're on probation. Okay.
Double secret probation.
Well, they have a six-month probation period, and so now mine's extended. And in a way, I think she's doing it to try to, you know, do me a favor so that she can do a good write-up. Because all of a sudden, she's pleased as punch with me. And it's really weird. She's been making, like, overtures to be pals, and I'm like, oh God, this is I can't understand like whiplash maneuvers like this.
All right, well, you got a stay of execution. Be happy there, old Yeller.
I know. Well, you know, I'm still looking for another position in the meantime. It just, you know, gave me the opportunity to keep working while I'm looking rather than being, you know, fighting for unemployment while I'm looking. That's all.
Do you fire people, Vincent?
Me too.
What's that? Have you had to fire people?
Yeah.
No, let's have some fun with this. What's that like?
Well, you know, every time you fire someone,
an angel gets its wings?
Well, you always have to worry about what's coming back at me. Even though it was a legitimate reason to fire someone.
So wait, like them like losing their mind and causing violence?
No. Labor board.
Labor? Oh!
That's the signature move.
See, I'd be afraid somebody's coming back in here with like a semi-automatic weapon, yeah, and they're going to shoot some stuff up.
Yeah.
So the labor board.
Labor board.
So would they complain like unfair labor practices?
Yeah, they'll say they were. They'll just make up a story, and when the labor board comes in, you can't win.
So what? You get fined.
You're fined.
So sometimes it's worth it just to keep somebody who's not good at their job, just not to deal with the headache.
Correct.
Wow, I need to get back in the workplace where I could be a complete screw-up, because apparently from your stories and hers, it doesn't matter anymore. like you could be a complete nut job, and you still get to keep your job, because it's not worth it to fire people. Were you ever happy to fire somebody?
Mm. No, I was not.
Never?
I had people working for me, and even my father, for CS 15 years, 20 years. I have people that have been with me for 8 years. You see them at the bankroll.
Yeah.
8 years, 9 years since I've been there. And I hope to keep them as long as I can. They enjoy working there. I enjoy working.
Yeah, but those
with them
are the good ones.
Well, we have 11 right now that have all been with me at least 2 to 10 years.
I'll give you one. I'll put you on the spot. When I met you, I don't remember her name, but there was a lady. I met the two of you. Who was I don't know if she was your equal. I don't know what her position was. Right. But I met the two of you guys at the same time. And then she was gone. Do you remember her?
Oh, we had a couple. The managers have left more than the staff.
Okay. I want to say she had like long brown hair. I mean, again.
Wait, is this recent?
No.
Because recently she left. Larissa, who was always there with you on Friday.
No. Like when I first met you guys and you guys decided to do comedy.
That was my aunt.
Oh, that was your aunt? I'm glad I said she was a very nice lady. That bitch, no. I mean, I remember she was like,
older. She was...
Well, I think she's like my age now. So, yeah, she was older. No, but I don't know. But I met the two of you guys together, and she was very nice, yeah, and she was involved, and then she wasn't. So yeah. So she was family.
She was family.
So what's it like when you have to fire family?
She just left.
Oh, okay.
She,
now, I like picture...
She's now in the healthcare profession.
I picture it like at Thanksgiving where you just go to your aunt and go, listen, this isn't working out. You know, take your drumstick and leave. We can't have this anymore. That's how I picture it.
She's a complete bitch.
What?
Davin, you told me she was a complete bitch, didn't you?
No, that was you I was referring to as a complete bitch. No, I honestly didn't even know that that was Vincent's aunt. I had no idea, but I mean, but she seemed like she was important, and Vincent seemed like they were important. So I didn't know if they were like co-equals or not. I don't know. I'm just getting a comedy contract. I don't give a shit. I just need to know who I'm dealing with. But I mean, like, she was there for like a few months after we started doing comedy. And she was really enthusiastic, and Vincent was enthusiastic, and then she was gone. So I didn't know what happened to her. So you just fired her from the family. You go, enough.
Yeah, she's excommunicated.
And you guys are Italian, right?
We are.
So we're never going to see her again.
Nope.
She's gone.
Buried.
It's unfortunate. Her and Hoffa. A nice lady in Hoffa. Just gone.
Okay. So which one, Vince? East River or Meadowlands?
Hackensack River.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
We could get that along with the falling apart submarine that's over there in the Hackensack River.
Yeah.
Remember that submarine's still there.
I think it's still there, yeah.
It's dilapidated. I think I've been on it. But there's a submarine.
I've been on that too.
Yeah, there's a submarine from World War II in the Hackensack River, and it used to be a museum. And it was like
it's like a park, a museum park with all ships.
But no, it was just there by itself.
Oh, it was in the water?
Yeah, it was in the water.
Oh.
But then what was it? Can't think.
I think it was the SS Link.
Yeah, that sounds right. And then like Sandy came and like just knocked the crap out of it, and it kind of like fell into disrepair. And then like the Bergen Record, which is one of the newspapers, like owned the property, but then they got bought out, and they tried to save this submarine, but now it's just there and like falling apart. I feel like it's been looted and everything. And it was like I think it was like one of the only types of this submarine still around, as I recall.
We should do a comedy night show to raise money for that.
Out of all the causes in the world. Out of all the a stupid submarine that nobody gives a shit about. Yes. We know this coronavirus, but we really care about the submarine over here. Let's raise money for the sub. This coronavirus is great. Do you have family in Italy?
I do, and I was texting my cousin, who's actually in southern Italy.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, and I just said bluntly straight, I guess people don't like Italians anymore.
Never have. So, but no, in Italy, where the coronavirus is starting to get out of hand, it's like a ghost town. Like, even the fashion show, they're doing, like, an empty building, except for the models, because they, like, weigh 90 pounds. Like, well, these bitches will be dead soon anyway, so it doesn't matter about them. But, like, Italy is just, like, deserted. So this coronavirus is getting really out of hand. But then there's people like Rush Limbaugh and Tucker Carlson, who, like, Rush Limbaugh said it was a conspiracy by the liberals to get Donald Trump, which, like, why, if there's a conspiracy, and I think, like, to tank the markets, well, then why would we unleash it on China? That, like, if it was to get Donald Trump, why wouldn't things fall apart here, where we're still, you know, we got, like, 53 cases in the United States, and thankfully nobody's died, but we're doing all right with it. And then Tucker Carlson said it was because we're too woke now. We're too woke and we're too accepting, and that's why it's right. Like they're taking like these issues where people are dying and everybody's scared, and they're making it into their own political agenda. And I always say, if I'm going to listen to anybody with science healthcare, it's going to be Rush Limbaugh as he smokes another cigar and battles his lung cancer, because that man knows about science and healthcare.
And drug addiction.
And drug addiction. I mean, but what do you think that people are, like, politicizing this coronavirus?
I think it's crazy. It's just the most ridiculous thing, that they're taking any little thing that they can and turning it into conspiracy theory. And I can't believe, I mean, I should believe at this point, but the base just sucks everything up and goes, yeah, there's something to that. Why would you think that sounds normal? I mean, that's just as realistic as a zombie apocalypse.
I kind of feel like if you were going to say something like that in a satirical way, like on a Saturday Night Live or a comedy show or whatever, like, okay, you can do it. But I kind of, when people, like, look at you as, like, news, which people do with Rush Limbaugh and Tucker Carlson, I don't know your political persuasion, it's none of my business, but I would not call Rush or Tucker news. I would call them opinion.
Their opinion.
Yeah, their opinion. Yeah. But people take them as news. I feel like there should be some type of, there should be some level of responsibility.
I would think so, because it used to be, and now I'm showing what a dinosaur I am, but that journalism had, you know, it was an ethical profession, and that they were worried about the truth and being, just telling the news without taking sides, but that's long gone.
Well, you'll hear about my situation in a few minutes, and you'll get a dose of that.
Well, you're not happy with the media?
Well, it's not that I'm not happy with the media. It took many years to figure it out, how it actually all transpired.
What transpired?
Well, how the we didn't have the word fake news. We only had the media's lying to the American public.
So you like the fact that we have a catchy label now?
I love it. Fake news.
You know what we used to call fake news? That. Bullshit. Hey, you're spinning bullshit over there. That's what you're right. Talking. We didn't call it fake news because if it's fake, it's not news. Well, on HBO, there used to be a show called Not Necessarily the News, but that was a comedy show. Mm. There was never news, but you couldn't believe it. I mean, sure, everybody has their own agenda, sort of. But now this is like pundits going out there and spinning it. So how does it work? You said you figured out how it works.
Well, I mean, I figure out how it works as it relates to the trial. And here's the issue with it and the problem that we have. So when there's a victim, they tell their – or an alleged victim, they tell their side of the story to the government. The government then leaks that out to the media. The media then reports that to the people. So what happened is if you have a witness or an alleged victim that tells their side of the story and they're not being truthful or – and maybe in this case, this person and people have said it, this mother had mental issues and she
– talking about the Michael Jackson.
Talking about the Michael Jackson. We'll get into it. But in general.
Right.
They come up with a story. It's reported. And then the defendant or someone that has to defend themselves technically can't speak because what you say can and will be used against you. So now you just have to take fake news.
Well, that's kind of interesting because we kind of had that with the Mueller report. Before the Mueller report came out, Attorney General Barr came out there with his spin on the Mueller report, and it really wasn't accurate to what was in the Mueller report. But because he came out first, right. he got to get a jump on the news cycle. So you have a problem with it just being who gets it out there first?
Well, it's not necessarily – it's the one that has the power to speak to the people. Basically, if you don't have that power, your story's not getting out.
Right, but the prosecution has to go first because they have to make their case. Like, you're not – unless you're going to come forward as a witness, go – you're like as a whistleblower. Because then if you're a whistleblower, you're grabbing the narrative before anybody else can and go, this is what's going on over here. I mean, so everybody – we'll get into the Jackson thing a little bit more. But everybody – in that scenario, there were a lot of people who claim they saw things. Now, you know, whether they're truthful or not, I don't know. But they certainly had the opportunity to go out before there was any lawsuits to get their side of the story out there. There was enough people who had worked with Michael Jackson for years who had claimed to have seen things but never came forward. And I understand why they didn't come forward.
Some didn't come forward. And then the other issue is that it's very difficult, even though when you come forward to the media or to the government, for them to take a look at it.
Oh, that? No, I've dealt with that, too. I mean, we did something years ago. Match.com was getting sued by this model from Miami who was claiming that scammers were working with Match.com. So she was suing for billions of dollars. But we had evidence that she was a scammer. And for the longest time, I couldn't get the mainstream media to listen to me because, oh, you're just a comic. You're making stuff up. But I had the truth, so it took a while to get that. So there is a question of believability, I guess. I guess they feel more comfortable hearing from a prosecutor than they will from a whistleblower, I think, because they can get sued. I mean, even with the stuff when the newspapers were printing some of the stuff I had, they're like, we got to run this past our lawyers. And they're like, listen, they're 99% sure what you're saying is true, but they're not 100%. So they can't run with it. Mm-hmm. So they're worried about getting sued.
Yeah. When I put something, I sold a story to the National Enquirer. It had to be vetted and it took weeks for the lawyers to go through it and to clear it.
Wait, and then it's amazing how many times they print complete nonsense, especially the National Enquirer.
Yeah, but you know what? From some of the Jackson stories that I've seen published, there's been a lot of truth to them.
Ooh,
especially mine.
We're gonna find out tonight if he did it, Pip.
Wow, this is really fascinating because, you know, I was just thinking that it's interesting to me that the National Enquirer does spend so much time vetting the story. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, that sometimes they'll come out with something and everybody goes, oh, that's complete ridiculousness. That's so vicious. And then later it'll sneak out that that was true.
Yeah, but also the National Enquirer, a lot of it's bullshit. Like Ted Cruz's father was involved with killing JFK. I mean, sometimes they just put out stuff to smear stuff. So I am a little surprised that the National Enquirer, I mean, there was like a little window where they were like pretending that they were journalists. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of the times the National Enquirer is just the National Enquirer is the internet on paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So
there's sometimes a grain of truth to it, but they just fabricate things. I have a friend who works for a magazine, or she was working for a magazine that is sold in the supermarket. And I don't want to mention them because I don't want to out my friend, but she told me that they come up with stories. They have to come up with things like before it's published. So, you know, reading between the lines, they're making stuff up.
It's People Magazine, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a lesser version of that.
It's Star.
No.
It's,
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on, tell me. Yeah, how are you going to out your friend?
In Style.
What?
In Style.
Oh, Christ, I don't even know what the hell that is. In Style, wait, that's got, like, really glossy covers and, like, very few pages. Is that In Style?
Oh, wait a second. No, wait a second. It's not In Style. Oh my god!
Fake news.
The name of it, wouldn't it?
You're giving us fake news, woman.
I know. No, but it's true. She worked there, and she was basically telling me, "Yeah, we publish bullshit in between the lines."
Mm-hmm. See, I mean,
what's the name?
There is no truth anymore. But why would you go to the National Enquirer? Why not go to the New York Times?
They wouldn't print it.
Did you go to them?
I've gone to. I've submitted. Okay. So one area that I push for my story to come out, because I feel it's an important one, on A&E, I go into a little more detail. Depends what they're going to use, because it was a 3-hour interview, and they're going to cut it up, and it's only a 4-hour show.
Right.
So I don't know what they're
going to
use.
What's the show called?
I don't know the specific name they didn't give, but it's basically the 15th anniversary of the trial.
Okay.
So
I love anniversaries.
Yeah. I'm going to have to deal with the 20th, the 25th, the 30th. This is never going to go away from
me. Are you going to invite the kid over, the Garvizo kid? Hey! Because, spoiler, Vinny was in charge of watching the family. So, hey, remember when we had hamburgers together? I'd invite them over. Come to Portobello. I'll cook for you. And that is weird, though. Anniversaries come up, and then all of a sudden everybody comes sniffing around.
Yeah.
But that's good. Get your name there. I just like the fact that you thought I knew this about it.
But see, my issue is not necessarily getting my name out there. It's clearing my name. I was in the national media for 2 years. My friend in Germany would pick up the newspaper, and he's like, there's your name.
How did I not know that about you? See, this just shows how little I was paying attention to that trial. Like,
But I think I told you, because I said I know Jamie Masada from The Laugh Factory.
All right, you might have said that. Yeah, yeah. Jamie Masada the guy from The Laugh Factory would bring boys to Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yes, Pip. It's a good thing you love stand-up comedy. Or you might have brought little boys to Michael Jackson. It could have been you.
I wouldn't be able to help myself.
Neither could Michael, allegedly. Anyway, did you know Jamie Masada?
I met him a couple times because the family, the accusers, were friends with him. Because the mother had the son Gavin, who was allegedly molested, in comedy camp there. He does like a comedy camp for underprivileged kids.
Okay. Okay, and now this kid, we'll get more into it on the other side of the break. Now this kid had cancer.
The kid had cancer. And he was trying to find inspiration from meeting all these celebrities. And
how did, how I got to tell you, if I got cancer, I'm not going to get inspiration from somebody who's prancing around with a glove. I mean, it might be nice to meet him. If I like him, it'd be cool. But, I mean, he doesn't have the same story I have. I'd want to meet, like, a celebrity that was a cancer survivor.
Well, they said one of the things that the mother pushed the kid to say was that Michael Jackson cured him of cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, no. Pip, how dare you? You know that stomach virus that you had? I take full credit for curing you. So
that was Tom and Gatorade.
No, no. That was the inspiration you got from me. That's what that was. When you were in the presence of superstardom, sometimes it can heal you. And the fact that you would deny this makes me question who you are as a human being.
Well, as soon as the show started, I needed to throw up. I don't know how you're going to spin that.
Well, I mean, you took a look in the mirror at yourself, and fortunately, you know, listen, sometimes you can sometimes you can only have so much of yourself.
I know. There's only so much that's therapeutic, and then you reach the point of no return.
See, if you would have known more successful comedians instead of me and Joe, you could have met Michael Jackson, and then think how much better your life would be.
I don't see how that follows.
you would get inspiration. You'd surround yourself with young boys.
Ah, okay. Well, young boys never did it for me when I was a young girl, so I don't know how that's going to help.
So Jamie, Gavin Arvizo. That's the Arvizo. Gavin Arvizo was there. Other ones that Jamie brought to Michael Jackson?
I don't recall that.
Okay, so it was just this one. But in your mind, did Jamie know? Because there was already allegations of, what, 93? There was allegations.
So he had to have known. When I went to prosecutors, I said, didn't you know about 93? I said, I was born in 79, so I was, what, 13 years old?
You wouldn't have known. Well, I mean, unless you were really into it.
I wasn't watching the news.
Right.
So I really didn't know. I mean, they were making fun of Michael Jackson when I was growing up.
See? I'm not the only one. As a boy, you made fun of Michael Jackson.
I didn't make fun of him.
No, not yet.
Others made fun
He's
of
dead.
Him.
You can make fun of him. It's okay. He's not going to come back. The ghost of Michael Jackson isn't coming to your house. You're not going to hear Shimon in the middle of the night. You'll be fine. You're not going to hear, hee-hoo! That'd be like the worst haunting ever. You just come downstairs, Michael Jackson's like moonwalking on the dining room table. No, that's not going to happen. You're fine. Michael Jackson's got other people to haunt. You'll be okay.
All right.
You can talk all the shit you want about Michael Jackson.
Just don't make that noise anymore, Davin. He hears that in his nightmares.
Oh, so that's all right. Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid at 13 years old, I mean, you're already starting to age out of Michael Jackson, so you wouldn't be concerned with that, you know. That's interesting. So Jamie Masada brings this kid over, and then we'll get more into the story on the other end. But I remember 93, and that kind of went away because it was paid to go away.
Sure.
I mean, when you got more money than God, you can make that happen. I'll ask you this. Were you sad when Michael Jackson died?
I was indifferent.
Well, that says a lot right there. That guy's your boss. I mean, I'd like to think Pip would weep horribly when I go. Right, Pip?
Oh, when you go?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. See? Pip would not be indifferent. Pip would weep horribly. Joe might celebrate. Pip would weep. But indifference, that says a lot. Can you imagine? So would you be indifferent if one of your evil overlords died?
Well, you know what? I had a very complicated relationship with the first evil overlord that I used to blog about. But I would be sad when he goes.
Yeah, indifference. That's kind of interesting.
Well, would you be indifferent to the supervisor that's writing your report if they died?
Oh, yeah. Right now, yeah.
indifference says a lot, though. That's interesting. So what are some of the celebrities you met while working with Michael?
Patti LaBelle, Mike Tyson, the Carters.
The Carters? Jimmy?
Nick Carter.
Oh, Nick and Aaron Carter?
Yeah.
Were they? Wow.
They were at the ranch. He was Aaron Carter was friends with him.
Of course he was. I'll tell you what, Aaron Carter was a supple young boy. I like me some Aaron Carter. All right, so the car were so and like nobody had any reservations about Michael Jackson. They all thought Michael Jackson was a swell guy.
They did. And, you know, there was like a learning curve involved here. You know, you go in to work for Michael. You are told he would never harm a child. He was not a pedophile.
Wait, you're told that in the interview process?
Well, it wasn't really an interview. This is a story behind this whole how I got involved.
All right, I want to get to the story on the other end. I just Pip, when we first met, did anybody tell you I would not harm children? No, they didn't tell you that.
No, because they didn't believe that was true.
Right, but can you imagine you're going to work for someone? Oh, just so you know, they're not a pedophile. Wow, worst job interview ever. I'm going to work for Portobello for Vincent at Portobello's Banquet. Listen, Vincent's a great guy, and he's not a pedophile. What? Why is that coming up? I mean, yay, I think, but why would that even come up? And, like, if somebody brings that up, you immediately go think, that motherfucker's a pedophile. That's what you immediately think. Wouldn't you?
If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, thanks for the opportunity, and be out of my chair and out the door.
Yeah, I mean, that's just such a weird thing. I mean, like, I know there's the history, but I can imagine if they came up to you and they said, listen, don't bring up anything about the accusations. Michael's very sensitive to that. I would get that, because in case you were feeling really comfortable with Michael and you thought, hey, let me just ask you about this, I would get having that conversation. But I don't get, hey, Michael's not a pedophile, he would never harm a child that could speak.
Well, this happened after the Bashir special that came out, where he was holding hands with Gavin Arvizo.
Yes.
So the question had to be asked by me is Michael harming children? Is he a pedophile? No, he's not.
Because, you know, pedophiles always go, yeah, I'm a pedophile. Pedophiles always say, yeah. Is there a problem? Is that good? No good? Okay, now that I know. I mean, what a bullshit thing.
It is a bizarre thing for somebody to bring up, but not considering all the things that have been swirling around about him.
I don't know. If somebody said, I'm not a pedophile, I'm not bringing my kids there. I mean, now, if somebody said they're a pedophile, I'm not bringing my kids there. Pedophilia should not come up in any conversation unless somebody is accused and might be a pedophile. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned.
It's not a natural part of the job application.
Did they say, hey, don't talk about Michael's skin color? It's very fluid right now. Did they say don't do Michael Jackson jokes? Did they give you any of that? Did they say hey Vincent, don't play Where's My Nose with Michael Jackson? He doesn't like that game. Did they do any of that?
Where's my nose?
Well, because he had a nose and then he didn't.
It was always taped.
His nose was always taped?
Taped when I was there. All taped around.
With like a breathe right strip or just like tape?
No, tape. It looked
like under construction?
It looked like masking tape.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you don't remember that? That whenever you see pictures of me, like when he wasn't doing some kind of like interview or a performance, he always had like some kind of tape on the sides of his nose.
Why would I remember that? I wasn't a Michael Jackson stalker. I didn't give a shit.
No, I wasn't a stalker. I just remember seeing that and thinking, wow, that's weird.
So, was LaToya the most normal of them all?
I haven't met LaToya.
Because she seems the only one that seems normal when you think about it.
I met Joe.
Douche.
And his mother.
Was Joe a douche?
They were okay. They were a little cold, but they were all right.
He didn't slap you around, did he?
Nah.
He got that out of his system with the boys?
No, because I went to the Havenhurst house one time.
The Havenhurst? Where was that? That's the one
that's
in Gary?
No. That's his parents' house. That was in L.A.
Okay. Did you meet Janet?
No, I haven't met Janet.
Oh. So you didn't get to play, hey, here's my nipple? These are all things. Well, I see, I could never work for the Jacksons. Well, because he's dead. But, like, I could, because I'm just too much of a smartass. You're a nice human being. I'm like, oh, the fucking jokes I'm going to make on these people. But, you know, then again, you know, you're with a celebrity. You feel kind of special. You were a young kid. I get that. Pip is in awe of me all the time. She's laughing because she's nervous right now. That's what that is. But
yes. I'm very afraid because I know that I'm having my 6 months. Tune up with you soon.
No, be honest. This is really your make-a-wish. Being able to work with me is your make-a-wish.
Yeah, well, you know what? We filled out the application so many times, I think you finally just took pity on me.
I did. I'm like, you know what? We're going to let this girl live with me.
Thank you.
Every Tuesday. All right, let's take our first break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to – I feel like we kind of teased it. We're gonna delve into this. Vincent's experience with Michael Jackson and the Arvizo boy who accused Michael Jackson of sexual assault. It went to trial. We'll get all into that. But on the break, we got new music from Richard Ryan with Stand By Me and Just a Jester with Supernatural Savior. And you can learn more about both those artists at Deuce Music.